Well, I want to speak today about the practical faith of Elijah. And our scripture is 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, and there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord. And he said, "O Lord, hast thou also brought evil upon this, the woman, the widow whom I sojourn, by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times. And he cried to the Lord and he said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of his chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Elijah, the background of this story we did, I think last week, we saw the tremendous provision. We saw that the cruse of oil did not finish, and the barrel did not get finished, it replenished. And it replenished day by day. This is God's rule. This is how God provided for the Israelites in the desert. The manna came every day. And we are instructed to pray for our daily bread. So day by day, we trust the Lord. Our bread is promised for each day. This reminds us of our dependence on the Father's love. If God guarantees our support, if God guarantees to supply daily for us, what does it matter the source from which it comes? Why do we want to know, "How will it come, Lord? Where will we get it? How will you do it?" Yes, it may satisfy some curiosity, but it will not make the sure supply any more sure. God has said it, He will do it. Now, what we notice here is we notice a great triumph. They had had a great victory, and usually after a great victory comes a great trial. And Elijah has great faith even in the trial. And he also has great character in the trial. It came to pass, tragedy struck this widow woman's house. And the widow woman's son became sick. And his sickness was sore, and there was no breath left in him. Some of the concordances try to say the boy didn't die. He just, I don't know how they explain it. There was no breath left in him. His soul departed. He was dead. He was not just sleeping. She, the woman, blames herself. She's thinking that it's probably her past sins that caused this tragedy. And some of the concordances say the past sins with how the child was conceived. We don't know what her past sins were, but we suspect that it had something to do with how this child was conceived. she says, "Man of God, is this a punishment upon me?" And she's so full of grief. She also partly blames the prophet. So she blames herself, but she's so full of grief. She also partly blames the prophet. And she says, "Art thou come unto me to call to remembrance my sin and slay my son?" And some of the modern translations say, "Wouldn't have it been better for me if I'd never met you, man of God?" But she's not thinking clearly, because she doesn't think of all the benefit of the cruse of oil and the meal that doesn't run out. She's just so upset, and she's so grieved about her son dying. But the prophet of God, Elijah, is a man of character, and he sees her grief and he answers with great gentleness, kindness. There's no bitter reply. He could have said, "Why do you blame me?" No, but he is a man of God, and he understands that this woman is in deep grief, and he answers gently. And one of the lessons we learn from this is, at home, when we are in the home, there's a constant need to exercise gentleness, to exercise patience, self-control, self-restraint. Under the test of home, with its continuous duties and commands, many a man or woman fails. But Elijah, he was the same man with the woman in the home as he was on the heights of Mount Carmel. Elijah was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Spirit of God, and it was shown by his attitude and his daily walk and his conversation. How we need this practical godliness. How we need the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts. You know, when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts, the unkindest people become kind. The most unrefined, the rudest, the most selfish, all experience a wonderful change when the Holy Spirit comes upon their life. There comes a gentleness of speech in their life. They speak in tender tones, in tender thoughtfulness, and even in the smallest of actions, they care. This change is a mark of heaven. This change is the mark of the Holy Spirit upon a person. We need this practical godliness, even in the home where it is the most difficult. In kindness, Elijah says unto her, he says, "Give me thy son." He took him out of her bosom, for she was holding him close to her bosom. And she was mourning and lamenting over the son that she had lost. Because it wasn't just her son that she had lost. She had lost her entire hope of a family. Now she had lost her husband. Now she lost her son. She'd hoped this son would grow up and take care of her in her old age. But now he was dead. It was a tremendous, tremendous loss for her. He says, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom, and he carried him up to the loft where he abode, and he laid him upon the bed. Into the loft, in other words, into a private place. A place where he could freely pour out his heart to God. A place where he could cry out to the Lord his God. And you have to understand, this is such faith that Elijah has, because up until this point, nobody had ever raised the dead before. This was the first account of the dead ever being raised. because he had faith, the Lord was ready to give that which he was asking for. Here was faith that could move mountains and stir the very gates of death. Elijah is walking an unknown road and he asks for what has never been given before. He pleads with the Lord. His interest and concern, it's his interest. He doesn't just say, Lord, that woman, you know, she's suffering. No, he was moved. He was grieved. He said, Lord, have mercy on this woman. He used this argument. He prayed using an argument. And the Lord heard his prayer. And this was his argument. Lord, look at the character of this woman. She has helped me. She is a widow woman. Lord, normally you are compassionate to widows. You have regard for widows. You show kindness to widows. He presents her case. He says, Lord, he seems to present the case as something that is an affliction to him personally. And it's also an affliction, of course, to the widow. And we see in the narrative that he stretches himself upon the widow's son three times, signifying that if he could, if he were able, he would impart life to this dead child. And he would impart his body heat to this child and warm this child with his own heat. And he cried unto the Lord, Lord, let this child's soul come into him again. And we learn some wonderful lessons from the prophet Elijah. We who want to impart spiritual life to people, we want to see the exceeding riches of God's grace imparted to others. We want to see the kindness of Jesus. We want to see others come to know the kindness of the Lord. Well, if we want to see this, we must learn from the prophet. What did he do? He stretched himself out on that child three times. But we can also assume that not only did he pray three times, he stretched himself over the child three times. And this speaks of, not only do we pray when we want to see spiritual life imparted, we stretch the word of God over them. We speak the word, we witness, we preach the gospel, we warm their hearts, and we pray. And he didn't just pray once. He prayed diligently. He prayed three times. He was extremely diligent with all prayer and supplication. He covered a whole range of prayer. He prayed once, twice, three times. And when we are praying for people, for our loved ones to be saved, there must be that persistence. We must earnestly pray. And we must urgently pray. Perhaps we want to go on an outreach or do some open-air preaching. All God's children want to be channels through which spiritual life flows. Perhaps there's somebody in your office that you want to see saved. And the secret of any servant of God's effectiveness is prayer. Serious prayer. Now, some people think serious prayer is raising up your hands. Then they think, now I've been really serious. I raised my hands. And they quote the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, that men everywhere should pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. But serious prayer, it's more than just the posture of raising hands or bowing the knee. This, by the way, the raising of holy hands, refers to a man's manner of life, coming to the Lord with a clean conscience, with a humble and a contrite heart. It's not the physical raising up of hands. It is a contrite heart. So serious prayer is not just done anyhow. It is from the heart. It must be specific and it must be urgent. We must be like Elijah. He's asking. He was affected and moved by the widow woman's condition. Elijah gives us a scriptural example, as I mentioned earlier, to raise arguments in prayer. He says, "Thou art the widow's God, and thou dost not usually bring evil upon widows." Let me give you another example. We see it with King David in the book of Psalms. You can read Psalm 10, the whole of Psalm 10. I'll just paraphrase a few points for you. He says, "Lord, the proud and the wicked always boast. They say they'll never be moved. They covet things that you hate, Lord. Their ways are so grievous to you, Lord." And then he says, "O Lord, remember the humble." He's making a case. He's making an argument to the Lord. He says, "Arise, O Lord, forget not the humble. You, O Lord, are the one who resisteth the proud, but you give grace unto the humble." So when we pray, we are earnest in our prayer. We present our case before the Lord. We cry out to Him. Maybe you're a mother, or you're a father, or maybe you're not even married, and you have a brother or a sister or your parents, and they are not physically dead, but they're spiritually dead. And you desire that they would be saved. You desire that they would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are lost in darkness. They have no desire for spiritual truth. It's so hard to speak to them about the Lord. When you try and speak to them, they just ignore you and tell you to be quiet. And so what do? We place our loved ones in the Lord's hands. We lay them before the Lord like Elijah laid this dead child on his bed before the Lord. We lay our loved ones before the Lord in prayer. We present our case. We say, "Lord, this greatly affects me. I'm so moved to see my loved one in this state. Lord, Satan has blinded their eyes. They cannot see the truth. I ask you to grant them spiritual sight. Open their eyes. Open the understanding of their heart." You plead with the Lord for them. You plead and ask for His love and His kindness. And we pray their eternal promises. You say, "Well, can we pray for them?" Of course you can pray. The scripture says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men." So we have that's 1 Timothy 2:1. We pray for all our loved ones. We lay them before the Lord. And then in verse 22 of our passages, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came to him again, and he revived." Some say, "Well, he was an eminent prophet. I'm just an ordinary person. God can hear him, but how can God hear me?" Well, Elijah was a man just like us, with like passions, but actually, we have a greater privilege. by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been granted access to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. That's Romans 4:16. So let us boldly come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. The Lord is my helper. Why should I fear? What can man do to me? Let me ask you a question. Would you forget to eat today? No. Would you forget to lock your door tonight in your house? No. Would you forget to lay down on your bed and go to sleep tonight? Yet, we forget to pray. And prayer is the most valuable privilege that has been granted to us. Let us not forget this access that God has given to us. We can have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where we can obtain help and find mercy in a time of need. I can say it another way. We give strength and we give time to our business. We give strength and we give time to the djembe in the field. We should give strength and time to that which is most valuable, prayer. The King of Kings, God, is the Lord who bids us to pray. He says, look to me, come unto me, have confidence in me. Surely, he would not call us to himself and not help us. And I read a story. It touched my heart. In the olden days, the city fathers would meet, like something like the county council, but they didn't have a beautiful building. They met under the tree. And all the councillors were meeting together. And as they stood there, they saw a dove flying. And behind the dove came a hawk, a bird of prey, hunting that dove. And in desperation, that dove flew into the midst of that group of men and landed on the breast of one of the men. And the hawk was defeated and flew away. But that man was a rough man, a hard man. He took that dove and he smashed it on the ground. And the people, the other men in the council, they said, you are not worthy of being in this council. We excommunicate you today. If that is how you treat a dove, we know you will treat the people that come to you for help in the same way. Imagine our God. We run to his side for help. He never would throw us down. He's gracious and receives us, and he grants us the answers that we need. God says, call upon me and I will answer you. There's no perhaps. Perhaps I will answer you if I'm in a good mood. I will answer you. What a wonderful Lord we have. What a compassionate Lord we have. Our God, the God of heaven, whose nature is love, could he tear out of his bosom a poor fluttering dove that flies from the eagle of justice to his bosom for mercy? No, if we go to the Lord for mercy, he will not dash us to the ground. Prayer is to be trusted. How we trust cash. You know, if you go to the shops with cash in your hand, even if it's a small coin, you do not doubt, not even for one moment, that you can exchange that cash for that which you need. You have got great faith, great confidence in the currency. Is that not true? Should we not have more confidence in a God who is faithful and true, who cannot lie, whose ear is open to our cries, who has got power to change situations? Oh, we should have faith in the Lord. Elijah, in verse 23 and 24, as I'm drawing to a close, these last two verses of our chapter. And Elijah took the child, and he brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and he delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth." Didn't she know this before? Now when she said it, she knew it. She knew it like she had never known it before. And when you and I come to the Lord in prayer and the Lord answers us, we know it like we have never known it before. We know it with a richness and a depth. Now I know it. Now I know it. I see it like I've never seen it before. Now I have knowledge of it, and I hold it to my very soul. May we all know the truth, this truth that is revealed by the Lord, that the Lord answers the cry of his children. Prayer is a gift to us. May we be able to say, "The Lord has heard my cry." Amen.